Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Lydia, oh Lydia, say, have you met Lydia? Lydia the tattooed lady.
She's a star of vaudeville.
She has eyes that folks adore.
A legend in motion pictures.
Even more so.
Talk show host extraordinaire.
Encyclopedia.
Ladies and gentlemen, a WGN first. It's a pleasure to welcome the great Groucho Marx in studio with us this morning.
Hello, I must be going. Oh, that's me singing Lydia.
Lydia. Groucho, you have never sounded better.
Well, you've never looked better.
Thank you.
I don't know if that was an insult or a compliment, quite frankly.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
Take it any way you want.
Yeah, I'm not sure. Just take it. Somebody, please. It's a pleasure to have you here, and people are very excited because you are going to be doing a special night here in Chicago, an evening with Groucho Marx.
That's right, dude.
That's coming up on September the 17th. How exciting is this for you?
I'm absolutely thrilled about it. You know, I used to live in Chicago. For about 10 years, I was here in Chicago. And we had a farm in Chicago from 1910 to 1920 when I was in vaudeville with my brothers. And we bought a farm to avoid the draft, quite frankly, because we were exempt because we had a farm. And my mother was a relentless stage mother, and she treated all of us boys equally with contempt. And I've played Chicago many, many times.
Sure.
I used to live on 4512 Grand Boulevard.
Wow.
There's a plaque outside there now, and now there's just plaque on my teeth, quite frankly. And it's an improvement.
Well, that's exciting.
If plaque excites you, it is exciting, Dean.
I didn't say that I'm not, that I don't have high standards.
Well, who does really around here?
So this evening with Groucho Marx is going to be Tuesday, September the 17th.
That's right.
At the Cambria Hotel on the 14th floor. That's where they're doing that show, Teatro Zanzani.
I hear it's magnificent. You know, I play all the big venues. I'm not playing the 14th floor of the Cambria Hotel. New York, London. And now the Cambria Hotel.
What is it that you do during
this
show?
Well, you know, I sing songs like Lady the Tattoo Lady.
Yeah?
Thank you for playing that, Dean. That was written by Arlen and Harburg, who wrote the entire score of The Wizard of Oz, Somewhere Over the Rainbow, and they wrote Lady the Tattoo Lady for me.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's got great lyrics there. I sing songs, I do. There's a lot of storytelling. It's anecdotal, a lot of improvisation. I think you'll enjoy it. But one of my favorite lyrics that was not actually recorded in the movie At the Circus was in Lydia the Tattoo Lady. And there's a Lydia, oh Lydia, say, have you met Lydia? Lydia the Tattoo Lady, she has eyes that folks adore so, and a torso even more so. But the lyric that didn't make it during World War II was this. Lydia, oh Lydia, say, have you met Lydia? Lydia the Tattoo Lady, when she stands, the world grows littler. When she sits on Hitler.
Oh, wow.
That went over big.
Did that get cut, really?
It did get cut.
Wow.
I'm not sure why, but I was happy to sing it.
Because there were lots of anti-Hitler references.
Yeah, actually, I ended up singing that on the road and doing USO tours. That came after the film.
Yeah.
But we know you're a fan. You're a fan. You love Animal Crackers and Monkey Business
and
Duck Soup.
You know, on WGN-TV, we ran Marx Brothers Marathon on New Year's Eve.
Oh, yes.
We ran some of the classic motion pictures. Which one were your favorites?
Well, I have to say, Duck Soup was one of my favorite Marx Brothers movies. In Duck Soup, I played Rufus T. Firefly, the president of Fredonia. And, of course, I get to work with the great Margaret Dumas, who embodied all things that were high society, the grand dame of all our films, and Mrs. Rittenhouse. And I had some wonderful exchanges with her, like, I can see you right now in the kitchen bending over a hot stove, but I can't see the stove. Come, come, say the word, you'll never see me again. I'll meet you tonight under the moon. I can see it now, just you and the moon. You wear a necktie, so I'll know you. Why don't you beat it? I hear they're going to tear you down and put up an office building where you're standing. You can leave in a taxi. If you can't leave in a taxi, you can leave in a huff. If that's too soon, you can leave in a minute and a huff. You know you haven't stopped talking since I came here. You must have been vaccinated with a phonograph needle. Why don't you pull up a couple of chairs and sit down? You get the idea, Dean.
I love that.
So do I.
I love that.
She was magnificent. Of course,
I think I heard in an interview once where you said that Margaret Dumont did not get the jokes.
She did not
understand what was happening.
I don't think she knew what the hell I was saying, quite frankly. We did a scene in Duck Soup And a bomb comes through the window, and I run over and I pull the shade down to keep the bomb from coming through. And she says, Rufus, what are you doing? I said, I'm fighting for your honor, which is probably more than you ever did. She never understood that joke. Apparently, neither did your engineer over here, but that's another story altogether.
They're still working on the disaster that happened.
I love being around a good disaster.
Yeah.
Well, enough about my film Love Happy, though.
You came to the right place for disaster. Let me take a break, and we'll come back and talk more with what an honor to have with us, Groucho Marx himself.
You're not so bad yourself. Well,
thank you very much. An Evening with Groucho is coming Tuesday, September the 17th, 14th floor, Cambria Hotel, where they do the show Teatro Zinzani. Tickets are at 312-488-0900, or you can go to eveningwithgroucho.com. But what an honor to have Groucho Marx in studio with us this morning. I've been a fan of yours forever.
If it gets any hotter in here, we'll need a big fan.
I never thought in a million years that you would actually be here on the show with me.
Only for you, Dean. Only for you.
I appreciate that very much.
You bet your life.
Yeah. Well, talk to me a little bit about You Bet Your Life. You know, there's not a lot of actors that can make the transition from the vaudeville stage to motion pictures and then to television and to be a long-running, successful game show host as you were.
Well, thank you for mentioning that show. You know, I did that show for 14 years, from 1947 to 1961, and I got the job because I was doing a radio show with Mr. Bob Hope. And at one point during this radio show, the Walgreen Hour, Mr. Hope dropped a script, and I stepped on that script, and I started ad-libbing, and so Hope was forced to ad-lib with me. And John Goodell, the great producer of radio and television, saw that that's what I could do best, and that's what happened. He said, Groucho, the reason you haven't worked in radio before is you never had a vehicle that lived up to your, well, let's just say, skill.
Yeah.
And that's what happened. So You Bet Your Life. It was just me and contestants coming on the show. And
just chatting, really.
Chatting, and I remember one particular incident that is fairly renowned is a woman came on the show, and she says to me, Groucho, I've got 17 kids. I said, 17 kids? She said, yes, I just love my husband. I said, I love my cigar, but I take it out of my mouth occasionally. So that's the kind of fun I was having for 14 years. And I was very lucky. I got a Peabody Award, cover of Time Magazine,
yeah.
Emmy Awards. It was a cakewalk, really, and I made a lot of money after schlepping around the country for 25 years.
That must have been delightful for not be living out of a trunk.
And that's a true story, and every week for 14 years you can hear, and here he is, the one, the only Groucho.
Yeah.
Welcome to You Bet Your Life. Say the sacred word and divide an extra $100. It's a common way, something you see every day. It was a very good time to be had.
That was one of my favorite things as a kid, to see the duck descend.
Yeah, say the secret word and the duck, yes.
Yeah.
It's hard to imagine you as a kid, Dean, quite frankly. Were you ever a kid?
A little bald kid.
Yes.
Yeah, it wasn't pretty
as
a child. Yeah.
I'm sure you were delightful.
Yeah.
Because I'm a congenital liar, so...
Tell me about working with your brothers.
My brothers.
What was that situation like?
Well, you know, my brother Chico, we were all very different. Chico, of course, was the Italian-accented piano-playing member of the comedy team, and Chico was the gambler of the family. Horses, cards, dice, you name it. And when Chico was young, he used to work in a paper factory, but he never brought home any salary because he'd lose it immediately in the pool room. Well, this went on for a few years, and finally my father said to him, if you come home again without your salary, I'll kill you. They had a very close relationship. Now, Harpo inherited all my mother's good qualities. Of course, he was the silent harp playing member. I think I was closest to Harpo. Harpo started playing the harp because my grandmother played the harp in vaudeville. And he inherited all my mother's good qualities, kindness, understanding, and friendliness. I got what was left. But can you imagine? We spent 25 years all over. And Chicago was one of our main stops over the 25 years of touring. And we developed these personae, these personalities. We actually grew up together as adolescents and became the Marx Brothers. And it was a great experience to be. And then, of course, Zeppo. Zeppo was the straight man whose major contribution to the act was saying the word yes on occasion. And Gamma was there before, but no one really cares about him.
So the personas, I always wondered about this, if these were your actual personas as brothers growing up, And, you know, one was playful and one was, you know, musical and one was a wisecracker. Or if these are the, just, you kind of worked all of this out in vaudeville and then because of the success of that, took it to motion picture screens.
Well, there was a comic on the bill with us in vaudeville by the name of Art Fisher, and he gave us our names. And at the time, there was a comic strip character called Sherlocko the Monk. So everyone was this-o and that-o and Nick and Bippo and Boppo, and we're playing poker backstage somewhere in the... I think it was in Iowa, Galesburg, I think, is where it was. Is that Illinois?
There's a Galesburg, Illinois.
I think it was Galesburg, Illinois, yeah. Then. And we're backstage playing cards, and all of a sudden, he's dealing the cards out to the Marx Brothers, to all of us. And he said, Harpo, here's Adolf, you're Harpo, you play the harp. And he gave him a card and dealt him a card. Chico, you chase the chicks, the ladies at the time. So Leonard became Chico. I have no idea how I got my nickname of Groucho. it may have something to do with my personality.
You seem like a very pleasant person.
Thank you. Well, I haven't spent enough time with me then, Dean. I think they could have called you Groucho, too. We could be the dueling Grouchos. Why don't we go on the road together here, Dean?
Sometimes that is exactly correct.
And of course, Zeppo was Herbert, and he was born when the Zeppelins were popular at the time.
Uh-huh.
And that's the story. It's not a great story, but it's a story nonetheless.
Well, that's okay. All I'm interested in is killing time here.
Yes, well, so how do you think I feel?
So I'm really looking forward to this one-man show, An Evening with Groucho. It's going to be Tuesday, September the 17th, one night only at the Cambria Hotel, the 14th floor, the same place they're putting on Teatro Zinzani, which has been getting a rave reviews. Have you heard anything about this guy, Frank Ferrante? He's the MC of the show.
He was a veritable genius.
You think so?
I can't wait to see him, quite frankly.
Oh, you haven't met him yet.
No, I haven't, I hear he's delightful.
You hear that he's wonderful.
Very handsome, too.
Very handsome.
Underpaid, by the way, I hear as well. If any producers are listening right now.
Yeah. Have you seen the show?
Oh, the show's spectacular.
Teatro Zinzani, have you seen it?
Well, it's got it all. It reminds me of my days, of vaudeville and burlesque, and a good time was had by all.
Yeah.
Not me, but a good time was had by all. And you get food, and I'm always up for a free meal, quite frankly. I got in for free. But you see it all. It's just like the acts I used to work with in vaudeville. Trapeze artists and singers and comedians, aerialists. It's an elegant evening out. If that's not a pitch, nothing is.
Well, who doesn't love elegant evenings out?
Well, there
that's
you have
the way
it.
That I look at it. Somebody is texting in and saying, ask Groucho if he ever found out how the elephant got in his pajamas.
Well, one morning I shot an elephant in my pajamas. How he got in my pajamas, I don't know. And I never did find out. I'm wearing my pajamas right now. Thanks for the sleepover, by the way, Dean. We had a good time.
Really happy to. Yeah, we had a fun time.
I'm a lonely man.
It's very, very nice to see you. Quite the honor to have the one, the only Groucho.
Well, Mr. Richards, I have one thing to say to you. Hello? I must be going. I cannot stay. I came to say I must be going. I'm glad I came, but just the same, I must be going. La la.
The Great Groucho Marx, An Evening with Groucho, is September the 17th, 14th floor, Cambria Hotel. Tickets at 312-488-0900. Or you can also go and get your tickets at eveningwithgroucho.com. Groucho, thanks again. Will you say hello to Frank Ferrante for us if you happen to run into him?
It'd be my delight. My pleasure.
Appreciate that. Thank you.
Don't ever leave me again, Dean.
A quick break and we'll do news with David Aloysius Schwann coming up next, WGN.